Chapter 10. Monlow Harbour, Nerth, later that morning. Chased by her aides, Honan Mu strode out into the bright sunlight that was bleaching one of the terracotta palace's wide inner yards. She walked like she always walked, as if she was late for something important and nothing would stop her. Other Uxors, along with senior Hets, were gathering in the yard, chatting in small groups or reading data reports. The morning briefing with Sri Vet and Major General Dev was due to start in half an hour, and expectations were high. With the full strength of an Astartes task force now in play, commanded by the Legion's Primarch, no less, everyone anticipated a swift escalation in operations, a major assault most likely, and soon. It was common knowledge that the Lord Commander was entirely pissed off with the Monlow Theatre, and expected the Alpha Legion to take it quickly and cleanly, and so end his troubles. Her aides were all gabbling at her. The day was bright, but cold, thanks to a blustery wind blowing in off the desert. The sky seemed to be moving backwards even more slowly than before. The vapour stain above Monlow was as dark and immobile as ever. But the screaming seemed to have diminished a little, or had at least been baffled by the desert wind. The sound lurked at the edge of hearing, like tinnitus. Honan Mu came to a halt. "Shut up," she snapped with her sept, and her aides shut up. "One at a time now," she instructed.
"Two attempted incursions along the earthwork overnight," said Tiphaine. "One at CR-412 around midnight, repulsed by a contingent of the Ultramars after Apache firefight. The other at CR-416, seen off quickly by the Knaves Company."
"Losses?"
"None on either occasion, Uxor," said Jani.
"Force estimations?" Mu asked.
"Both incursions were made by Nerth Atra raiders," Lili said, "numbering no more than 30 individuals, lightly armed Skiritai units, desert rogues, each force probably led by an Ekfenuth elite. They melted back into the desert as quickly as they could." "They are testing our lines, probing for weaknesses," said Jani.
Honan Mu looked at the girl snidely. Jani hung her head.
"Which, of course, you had already appreciated, Uxor," she murmured.
"Anything else?" asked Mu.
"There are sketchy reports that a spy was driven away from the pavilion last night," said Tiphaine.
"Define driven away," said Mu.
"An insurgent agent got close to the pavilion during the Lord Commander's meeting with the Astartes," said Nefertiti. "He was discovered and fled, probably into the desert."
"This is unconfirmed?" asked Mu.
"It is simply a rumour. The Lord Commander's staff seem unwilling to admit that such an outrage occurred."
"No wonder, an agent getting that close," said Mu.
"The rumour also suggests that said agent may have taken out a Lucifer Black," said Erica.
Honan Mu redirected her gaze at Erica. The girl did not shy away from Mu's hard stare. Mu liked Erica's strength. Far younger than Tiphaine, Mu's senior aide, the youngest of them all, Erica showed great promise. She reminded Mu of herself, unabashed, strong, willful.
"The enemy agent killed a Lucifer?" Mu asked.
Erica nodded.
"Right outside the tent wall, and no one inside heard anything. Of course, the Lord Commander's staff is denying this, but you know how word gets around. I happen to know a Badgerlure in the Ultramars who said he saw the body being whisked away," said Lili.
"I can imagine how you happen to know the Badgerlure," thought Mu.
"Shit," she whispered, "a Lucifer got burned."
"Though the Lord Commander's staff has refused to comment on the rumour," said Tiphaine, "operational security has been beefed up to Code Order 6 as of midnight last night."
Mu nodded. Code Order 6 was the highest of the standing security impositions.
"We have learned that the Lord Commander has authorised the Lucifer Black Companions to conduct a full security purge on all army units," said Jani. Everyone should make themselves available for interrogation by the companions at short notice. The Lord Commander is clearly keen to root out the spy in our midst before any assault begins."
"That's exactly what I would do," Mu sighed. "I need to clear things up before that happens," she thought. "I need to clean the Chilliard ranks quickly and effectively before the damn Lucifers find our regiment wanting. I know in my bones that a weakness resides within us. Roxana. Roxana, that silly bitch. She is hiding something, and I will find it before our entire old hundred is shamed and disgraced."
She looked up at the sky and watched it slide back on itself, slowly and unnaturally, like a picked feed of ice collapsing into meltwater, played in reverse. The desert wind tugged at their cloaks.
"Aksor?" asked Neferti.
"Wait here, please," Mu said, and strode off across the yard.
Her aides lingered where they had been told to linger, whispering and nattering.
"Jean Whip," Mu said.
Franco Boone looked around at her. He had been standing in conversation with Aksor Sanzi and her aides.
"Aksor," he nodded. "I was just about to come looking for you."
"A word," said Mu.
They walked away from the gathering throng to the south side of the yard, under the shade of the colonnade.
"Something stinks," said Boone, keeping his voice low.
"Go on," she replied.
"Let me ask you this," said Boone.
"Aksor Roxana, you told me she was covering something. Could it be an affair with Het Pius?"
Mu gazed at him.
"Maybe. I don't know why she'd hide it. Who would care?"
Boone shrugged. He took hold of the golden box hanging around his neck and took a pinch of peck.
"The thing is," he said, sniffing, "we went to scope out Roxana's lodgings to follow up on your lead. We found Het Pius there, bold as brass and twice as naked."
Mu laughed. She felt relieved. If that was all it was, if that explained Roxana's behaviour, then she had been worrying for nothing.
"There's your answer," she said. "I apologise for putting you to such trouble."
Boone's dark look had not gone away.
"The trouble's only just started, Aksor," he said. "As it turns out, it couldn't have been Pius, unless Pius can be in two places at once. Whoever it was, they fooled me and two of my best bulls, good and proper."
"I don't understand," said Mu.
Suddenly, despite her cloak, she felt how cold the wind was and shivered.
"Neither do I, lady," said Boone. "I spent last night surveilling Pius. Guess who I saw with him?"
Boone scratched the tip of his axe blade nose and gave her a significant look.
"You'll have to tell me, Franco," she replied.
"Sonica."
She stared at the Jean Whip.
"Well, of course. They're old friends."
Boone shook his head.
"Sonica's got suspicious written all over him, Mu. He got out of Tel Cat alive and came to you with stories. What was it? About a body and hurt Bronzy?"
"Sonica.
Pious. The pieces don't fit."
"I'm sure they do," she assured him.
Boone shook his head again.
"Not in any way I feel comfortable with, Aksor."
Mu pursed her lips and glanced up at the slow sky, squinting at the light.
"Peto's story was a fabulation," she said. "He admitted it himself. He was delirious after his ordeal, and..."
"We approached him for a quiet word," Boone cut in. "Just a quiet word. He fought us off and fled."
Mu didn't reply.
"He's hiding something," said Boone. "Sonica's in league with Pius, or whoever it is that's pretending to be Pius. I'd laugh it off, but we're in the deep and stinky here. The companions are closing us down. A purge. If they dig up any real dirt, our heads will roll. Literally. You know how forgiving Namatjira can be.
He'd merrily eviscerate the Geno if it meant making an example of a traitor.
Mu looked at Boone so directly that he was forced to avert his gaze.
Franco, Peto Sonica is not the problem. He's a good man, a damn good man, who's been through hell these past weeks. He was shaken and delirious when we spoke to him. He's no spy. He ran because you scared him. I'd stake my life on it.
Boone finally found the bottle to look straight back at her.
He ran, Mu. He fought us off and ran. He vanished, and as of this morning, Bronze is missing too. His Bashaws don't know where he is. They haven't seen hide nor hair of him since dawn yesterday. He's dropped off the scope. I swear they're in it together, Mu. Sonica, Pius and Bronzy, three of our best heads. We're not talking junior G-tards here. They're encrypt-cleared heads. They know the Army's entire playbook. If it turns out they've gone over, the scandal will finish the regiment.
Honan Mu pulled her cloak around her to fend off the worst of the wind.
Franco, would you please come with me? She asked.
She led him along the colonnade to a shadowy stone stairwell that led up onto the flat roof of one of the buildings overlooking the yard. Up on the roof, the wind was stronger and the light brighter. Two men were waiting for them at the edge of the roof space. They got to their feet as Mu and Boone approached. Boone blinked in consternation and drew his sidearm.
Hurtado Bronzy, Peto Sonica, consider yourselves under detention and...
Put that away, Franco, said Mu. They're here under their own recognizance. They asked me to arrange this meeting so that they could speak to you directly.
Boone lowered his gun, but did not put it away.
I'm waiting, he said.
Gene Whip, Bronzy said, making a casual but respectful namaste in Boone's direction. My old friend Peto has an apology to make to you. Haven't you, Peto?
Sonica nodded. I was a fool to run last night, really. A complete fool. I was a little bit crazy. My mind was all over the place. I'm sorry for that, Gene Whip Boone.
Not good enough, said Boone.
He's telling the truth, said Bronzy.
He fished out a sheaf of documents from his belt pouch.
Look, see, medico reports. They signed off on him this morning after an exam. Combat fatigue.
Likely story, Boone snorted, bringing up his sidearm again.
Look, I spent the last day and a half looking for him, said Bronzy, because he's my best friend, and I didn't want to see him swinging in the wind. He's messed up, that's all.
Really? Asked Boone.
His company got hammered at Tel Yutan. Then the remnants of them were slaughtered at Tel Kat. It's no surprise Peto's suffering from combat fatigue, said Mu.
That kind of trauma would make anyone run if Gene Whip started pressing the wrong buttons, Bronzy added. Your men were suggesting that the Tel Kat massacre was all his fault.
Boone lowered his weapon.
I suppose, he began.
He snatched the papers out of Bronzy's hand and skimmed them. The sheets flapped in the wind.
I don't want Bronzy or my Uxor making any excuses for me, said Sonica. I can stand on my own 2 feet. I'm sorry I cut rough with your bulls, Gene Whip. Terra, I really am.
I didn't want to see Peto hang when he hadn't done a thing, Boone, said Bronzy. Like I said, I spent the whole of yesterday out looking for him, and when I found him, I persuaded him to turn himself in, to make peace with you and smooth this trouble out.
With my full sanction, said Mu. Hurtado brought the matter to me early this morning and explained the facts.
Hurt convinced me that it was better to turn myself in and face you, said Sonica. I realise I should never, ever have run. That made me look guilty as hell.
Boone holstered his weapon. He glared at all three of them and thrust the paperwork back into Bronzy's hands.
All right, but I'm still not happy.
Of course you're not, said Sonica.
That's why we'd like to offer you something in return, said Bronzy, by way of recompense for your trouble and in gratitude for your understanding.
Like what? Asked Boone sourly.
Cato Pius, said Sonica. Hurt and I are his oldest friends. We can get stuff out of him that Eugene Whips would never manage. About him. Uxor Ruxana. Whatever dirt there is.
Just give us a day or two, said Bronzy. We'll report back and give you everything we found.
Boone looked at Uxor Mu.
I don't trust either of them.
I trust them with my life, Mu said. They are two of my best heads. Let them loose, Franco. They'll find the canker in our midst. If they play us for fools, I'll kill them myself.
She would, said Sonica.
She really would, Bronzy agreed.
Boone grinned.
No doubt of that. But if you two bastards are tight with Pius like you say,
why would you sell him out?
If Cato's betrayed the Chilead, said Sonica, it wouldn't matter if he was my brother. I'd skin him alive.
Company first, Imperium second, said Bronzy. Gino before Jean.
All right, said Boone. 2 days, then I bring hell down on your heads.
That's fair, said Bronzy.
Totally fair, Sonica agreed. Boone turned to leave, and then turned back.
Sonica, I'm truly sorry for your anguish. A company is a hard thing to lose.
Indeed it is, Gene Whip, Sonica replied. Boone left them on the roof and returned to the yard. Honan Mu regarded the two hets. She brushed wind-blown hair out of her eyes.
I have to go to the briefing, she said.
They nodded.
Thank you for doing this, said Sonica.
An Uxor looks out for all her charges, she replied, and then paused.
Don't let me down. Don't make me regret sticking my neck out today.
We won't, Honan, said Bronzy.
All right, she said. I want the Chilliard's house swept clean in 24 hours before the companions start picking at our loose threads. Start with Ruxana. Like I said, she's covering something. That's why I sent Boone after her in the first place.
If we find anything, you'll be the first to know, said Sonica. And we can all go and tell Boone together, smiled Bronzy.
As a matter of interest, do you think Pius is compromised? Mu asked.
Cato? Asked Bronzy. Not for a moment.
And Ruxana?
Bronzy shrugged. Mu turned to go.
Oh, Peto, she said, your Medicaid papers notwithstanding, are you fit for posting?
We only got the papers to convince Boone, said Sonica. I'd actually rather be working.
She nodded.
With Shiban gone, the clowns need an acting het, especially if we're about to go in. I'll get the warrants drawn up, a temporary assignment for you and your Bashaws, until I can bring in a permanent new het. Maybe you can go up the line and make an overture later today. They desperately need licking into shape before we go hot. There's...
Fugging Strabo, said Sonica, nodding. I know.
She smiled.
Good. Excellent. Well, carry on.
She walked away, her heels clacking on the cinder roof, and disappeared down the stairwell.
Bronzy looked over at Sonica and grinned.
Shiban's mob... That's
ironic, Sonica finished.
Bronzy chuckled and stroked his belly. He looked out from the roof at the distant Hadean vista of Mon Low.
You think we've fooled them? Asked Sonica.
Bronzy held up his hand. The middle and index fingers were crossed.
I mean, I'm new to all this, said Sonica.
I'm hardly a veteran, Bronzy replied.
Yes, I think we're good. We'd better get on with it.
He turned to go. Sonica put out a hand to stop him. It was his ruined, truncated hand, and for some reason Bronzy found this terribly telling.
I'm not prepared to countenance anything that betrays the Gino, Sonica said, and absolutely nothing that would hurt Mu.
Then we're on the same page, aren't we, Petto? Said Bronzy. Let's get on with it.
In the shuttered darkness of his private cell, Dinas Chain sat in meditation. The cell, deep in the subterranean layers of the palace, was damp and cold, but Chain had not lit the small iron firebasket, nor any of the tapers. He liked the cold. The cold had been his friend on Zaus as a child warrior, especially during the last long, hard winter of his 13th year. The cold had sharpened his wits and forced him to steel himself. The cold was a tool that a man or a boy could use to temper himself. Breathing slowly, Chain took apart the facts and built them back up one by one. Uxor Said, the Alpha Legion, Omegon, the Note, his dead Lucifer, the astonishing skill of the elusive spy, the astonishing arrogance of the elusive spy. There, the arrogance suggested that the spy was confident in his cover. Where does a spy hide? In plain sight. How does he operate? Without drawing attention to himself, by being what he is, naturally, to avoid question and comment. The best way of doing that was to be exactly what you claimed to be. It made the cover story so much easier to run. The best cover a spy could have was to be a spy. Chain had already decided to pay a visit to Uxor Said. He'd had his men watching her since the Lord Commander's order, to no great result. Now that Namatjira had sanctioned a security purge, Chain felt duty-bound to stop being reactive and bring her in for interrogation. The morning briefing would end in 30 minutes. She'd be on her way back to her quarters. He would meet her there in person and show no mercy. She was the key, somehow. She'd covered something during her meeting with the Lord Commander. She'd covered for someone. Chain had photographic recall, breathing ever more slowly, his heart rate down to an inhuman level. He replayed the moments of the meeting.
Roxana, Namatjira had said, I'm told you were responsible for the reconnaissance and scouting at Mon Loh.
That was my role, sir.
You had agents in the field.
I did, Lord Commander, Roxana had replied. Most of them were long-range observers and spotters.
Namatjira had consulted the data slate.
But you had at least one intelligence officer inside Mon Loh the morning this hubbub began.
He had waved his hand distractedly in the direction of the window. Roxana had pursed her lips and looked down.
Yes, sir, I did. Konig Henniker.
Henniker? Yes, I know him. He's a reliable man. What happened to him?
He had entered the city covertly once already, sir, and briefed me afterwards. His intelligence was of good quality. He inserted that morning very early, intending to collect data on the Kurnaul and North Wall areas. He never came back.
Ah, I see, the Lord Commander had sighed. Thank you, Uxor Roxana.
Dinas Chain opened his eyes in the dark. It was so obvious, so obvious. He'd been a fool to miss it. The best cover a spy could have was to be a spy. There was a knock at the door behind him. He ignored it. His men knew better than to disturb him during meditation. Another knock came. The alert cursor on the cuff of his armour, stacked on the floor in front of him, began to wink.
Who is it? Chain called. Aiman, sir. We have something. Wait.
It took 46 seconds for Dinas Chain to fully clothe himself in his jet-black armour. He opened the door. Aiman was outside, along with Treese. They were fully armoured and stood flanking a nervous young man, the adept from the security post that Chain had handed the note to the night before.
The adept was clearly terrified at the thought of disturbing a Lucifer Black.
"Tell me," said Chain.
"Sir, I have completed the tests you ordered. I've run a comparison check on the handwriting base of all expedition personnel. I have a match, sir. It's..."
"Connick Henniker," said Chain.
The adept blinked in astonishment.
"Yes. How could you possibly know that?"
Chain pushed the adept out of his way and began to stride along the corridor. Iman and Trees fell in behind him.
"Instructions," snapped Iman. 8 men," said Chain, "close down Aksor Saeed's quarters and bring her to me. Her spy is our spy."
They crossed the upper courts of the palace, through bustling streams of servants carrying sacks of manioc and blonde leaf to the kitchens, past a marching band rehearsing on a small quad, past a group of artillery officers being briefed on a sunlit terrace. They hurried up the stairs to Ruxana's quarters. The day's heat was building, and the warmth was beginning to ooze from the brickwork. Slaves were soaking the reed window screens with water. They knocked sharply at the door of Ruxana's accommodation. An aide answered the door and called for her Aksor as soon as she saw who it was. Aksor Ruxana came at once.
"What's this about?" she asked, puzzled.
"So sorry to disturb you, Aksor," said Sonica. "I think there's been some kind of clerical glitch. I've just been issued temporary command of the clans, and I'm on my way up the line to meet with them. The thing is, there's been a screw-up. The warrants I've been given say that the clans have been transferred to your purview."
"That's not right," Ruxana said. "The clans come under Honan Mu's sept."
I know, said Sonica, shrugging. "But she's off somewhere, and I need to get this sorted urgently. If you wouldn't mind accompanying me, you could authorise the warrants and I could get on with my job."
Ruxana frowned.
"Sonica, isn't it?"
"That's right, Aksor."
"And Bronzy?"
"Good day to you, Aksor," Bronzy smiled.
"Something's obviously gone very wrong," she said.
"Would you mind?" Sonica asked.
"Of course not," she said.
She fetched a long desert shawl from the anteroom and told her aides to wait.
"I'll be back shortly," she said to Tuvi.
The Hets escorted Ruxana along the upper colonnade of the palace, overlooking the terraced yards. The sun was biting through the slow, unwinding clouds.
"So much confusion these days," she said, pulling on her shawl.
"Oh, it's terrible," Bronzy agreed.
"It's the scale of the operation, I suppose," Ruxana said. "I sometimes wonder if tactical and provisional is entirely on top of the job."
"Must be a nightmare, logistically," Sonica said pleasantly. "Look, I really do appreciate this, Aksor."
"I heard about the dancers, Het," she said. "I am truly sorry. They were a great company."
"War happens," Sonica replied, with an appreciative nod. "I'm just glad to be getting back on the horse. Gives me a sense of purpose. Besides, we're going to need every unit on top form in these coming days, and without Shiban, the clowns are unravelling." "Beto will whip them into shape," Bronzy grinned.
She hesitated. "Forgive me, Het Bronzy. I'm not entirely sure why you're here."
"Moral support," Bronzy said, making a polite namaste. "Peto was anxious about disturbing you this morning."
She looked at Bronzy as if not entirely convinced.
"Strange," she began. "He doesn't look like the sort to lack..."
She fell silent. Something had caught her eye. She pushed past them both, went to the stone rail of the colonnade, and gazed down into the terraced yards below.
"What's going on down there?" she asked quietly.
They joined her at the rail and looked down. Below them, on the far side of the upper yard, 8 figures in black armour were hurrying up the staircase to the summit levels, rushing like shadows in the shade of the tiled mantel roof.
"Some nonsense, I'll be bound," said Bronzy.
"Those are Lucifer Blacks," she said.
"Yes, I think they are," said Sonica.
"Sorry, could we get along? My driver's waiting."
They're heading towards my quarters, she said.
I don't think so, Bronzy replied confidently. They're probably responding to an alert from the watch station up in the tower.
No, she said firmly.
She turned to stride back the way they'd come. Sonica was blocking her, a calm, reassuring smile on his face.
It's nothing, Uxor. Let's go, shall we? He said.
She glanced to her right. Bronzy had closed in too.
What is this? She asked, realizing that she was trapped between two very capable Geno Hets.
Sonica looked at Bronzy. Bronzy nodded quickly.
What the hell is this? She demanded.
Henniker, said Sonica.
Roxana froze.
Henniker sent us, said Bronzy. The companions are on to you. He sent us to get you out.
Please, said Sonica, there's very little time. She stared at them both.
Henniker? She asked.
Bronzy nodded. Without hesitation, she allowed them to lead her away down the colonnade. The three of them began to run. Tuvi and the other girls flinched as the doors to the chamber flew open. Lucifer Blacks burst in, training their weapons.
I demand to know, Tuvi began.
Shut up, said one of the companions, pointing his weapon directly at her.
Dinas Chain entered the room, moving forwards between his braced and aimed men.
Roxana,
he asked, his voice issuing from his grim helmet's loudspeaker. The aides cowered in terror. The youngest of them whimpered.
Where?
Chain hissed. They were all too scared to reply. Chain made a quick gesture, and four of the companions broke forwards to search the adjoining rooms. Chain looked directly at Tuvi, who was comforting the youngest aide, a girl barely 13 years old.
You are the leader. Where is your Uxor? He asked.
Tuvi swallowed and returned his gaze defiantly.
She's not here, Tuvi said. She was called away on Geno business.
Called away?
Asked Chain, taking a step towards her and lowering his weapon.
A Het came, a Het who needed her authorization or something, Tuvi replied.
Which Het?
I'm not sure, said Tuvi. It may have been two Hets, said one of the other girls. It may have been, said Tuvi. I didn't really see.
Tuvi was an ambitious girl, but she was also careful. Until she understood exactly what was going on, she didn't want to give out any more information than necessary. Despite her youth and her hunger for command, she also firmly believed in the adage, Company first, Imperium second, Geno before Gene. She had been raised that way. Chain reached out with his left hand and took hold of her face. She moaned quietly and closed her eyes. It looked as gentle as a lover's touch, but the compression pain he was exerting was immense.
How long ago? He asked quietly.
10 minutes. No more than 10.
Who did she go with?
The grip had made Tuvi quickly re-evaluate her priorities.
Sonica, she said.
At ground level to the east of the palace sprawl, army pioneers had excavated a deep ramp and removed the side wall of a giant ceremonial chamber to provide a vast depot for vehicles. The excised wall section had been replaced by load-bearing pneumolithic girders and fortified with flakboard and ballistic pumice. Trucks and transports toiled in and out along the ramp all day long in a haze of dust, under the direction of artificer banksmen and other security personnel. The engine fumes gathered in the roof space, slowly sucked away by powerful vent systems that had been bolted under the vaults. Lumen rigs hung from brackets all the way down the chamber. The place echoed with rivet guns and pressure drivers.
That one, said Bronzy, hurrying back to them.
Sonica and Roxana came out from behind a turreted trans-track painted in thorn livery and crossed with him to an armoured scurrier dressed in desert pink. Bronzy popped the hatch and they climbed in. Bronzy clambered forwards into the tight cockpit space. Bronzy had checked the vehicle out for use at the depot station. If he'd used his own biometric key, or Sonica's, or even the Uxor's, klaxons would have been sounding already. Instead, he'd used the key they had given him. Sonica closed the hatch behind them and strapped in beside Bruxana. She was pale with panic, but containing her agitation. "Go, Hurt," Sonica said. Bronzy gunned the engines and brought the Scurrier to life. It rose on its 20 sets of caliper legs and spurred forwards, leg units running in syncopation, racing it across the earth floor like a giant centipede. They passed out under the gate. A banksman flashed their biometric signature and waved them enthusiastically on with his luminous wand. They ran up the ramp, followed the rampart wall to the west exit, and headed out into the desert. The Scurrier's mode of ambulation provided a soft, rolling sensation of travel, despite the high speeds Bronzy was making across the dunes. The wind was raising a spume of fine dust from the crest of every slope. Bronzy checked the navigation display. It was only a kilometre or two. Not far. Not far at all.
"Is Konig all right?" Ruxana asked Sonica.
"Konig?"
"Henniker," she said.
"Oh, sorry, I only really know him as Henniker."
"Is he all right?"
"Yes, he's fine."
"Really fine?"
"Yes." She thought about that. He could tell she didn't trust him at all.
"How are you involved?" she asked.
"I can't tell you."
"I think you can," she insisted.
"I can't, really," he said. "I'm sorry, Uxor. It's an army intelligence thing." She stared at him hard.
"Army intelligence? Is that so?"
"Yes."
But
what, Uxor?" It wasn't an army intelligence thing. It was a cabal thing. She realized that she was going somewhere to die. She tried to swallow the dry knot in her throat.
"I'm only doing this because I love him," she said.
"Henniker?"
"Yes, Henniker."
"I didn't realize," Sonica said. He looked bothered and uncomfortable. "I'm sorry. I really didn't. Look, we..." he began.
"Get set. We're there,"
Bronzy called out. The Scurrier rippled down a bank of soft sand into a deep wadi and came to a halt. The sun was at its zenith, burning like a low-set laz. The light was hard, and there were no shadows.
"What were you saying to me?" asked Ruxana.
"I'm sorry," said Sonica. "That's all. There's no time to say anything else. We're out of time."
"So am I think," she replied.
He watched her as she unbuckled and got up. "I never meant to hurt you, Ruxana," he said. "Please, this is for the best."
"I hope so."
She smiled at him, a brave, intoxicating smile, despite the shadow of terror in her expression.
"But I don't hold out much hope," she added.
Bronzy opened the hatch and they climbed out into the baking hole of the Wadi Basin. There was no one around. Bright sunlight burned the sand and the tops of their heads.
"Come on,"
said Bronzy, glancing around impatiently.
"While we're waiting," said Ruxana, "why don't you explain that lie you sold me? As a last favour, so to speak. I'd like to know what I'm getting into. Tell me about Konig. How do you know Konig?"
"It's like I said," Bronzy replied, awkward and unsettled.
"Oh, Hurtado, please credit me with some intelligence," she said. "It's nothing like you said."
There was a soft sifting sound, the sound of sand pouring away onto sand. Four Astartes, concealed beneath the dunes around them, rose to their feet, the sand sliding off the contours of their armour as if they were rising up out of concealed trapdoors.
"Is this her?" asked one. Yes, Lord,
Bronzy replied. Sonica realized that Roxana had begun to tremble badly.
We'll take her from here, said another of the Astartes.
Oh, glory, Roxana whispered. Please.
It's all right, Sonica told her urgently. He looked at the giant warriors coming towards them. It will be all right, won't it?
You've done your job, friend, one of them told him, and we thank you for it. We'll take it from here.
But, Sonica began,
we'll take it from here, operative, the giant reassured him.
The Astartes put out a huge paw around Roxana's tiny shoulders and led her away across the sand. She looked back once.
Peto,
she called.
I'm sorry, I...
he called out. But she was gone in the deep shadows of the Wadi's base. One of the Alpha Legionnaires strode over to them.
Good work, he said.
Bronzy nodded.
Will she be all right? Sonica asked.
Of course, the Astartes said, his voice deep. She's with us.
That's not what I was asking, Sonica said.
Will we be all right? Bronzy asked, looking up at the giant. Did you do what we told you to do? Yes. Did you use the biometric?
Yes, said Sonica.
Then stick to the story, and it will be fine, replied the Legionnaire. Trust me. And thank you.
He turned to go, and then looked back, his huge form stark in the sunlight.
You did the right thing. If things turn bad, we'll get you out. You're us now.
He walked away. In under 2 minutes, the Alpha Legionnaires had vanished into the desert, leaving no trace. Bronzy looked at Sonica. He grinned, but Sonica could tell the grin was forced.
Scary bastards, right?
Scary bastards, Sonica agreed. They began to trudge back to the scurrier.
Something on your mind, Bronzy added.
Sonica shook his head.
You don't like this, do you?
Of course I don't, Sonica said. They got back into the scurrier and headed back towards the palace. Half a kilometre from the west exit, a shadow flickered across them and the scurrier's target alarm started to ping.
Scurrier! Scurrier! The vox crackled. Come to a halt and open hatches. We have you at weapons lock.
Bronzy threw the leg brakes and killed the spinal drive. The scurrier rocked to a standstill.
Get out! On the deck! Now! The vox demanded.
Bronzy looked at Sonica.
Sure you know how to play this? He asked.
Sonica nodded.
They unlocked the hatch and got out, falling on their faces in the glaring sunlight, a few metres from the vehicle with their hands behind their heads. A blizzard of sand was being kicked up around them by a circling jackal gunship. A second gunship settled nearby on roaring turbofans, like a giant skeletal raven. Its occupants ran towards them.
Get up!
Sonica and Bronzy got up, hands locked behind their necks in submission. Lucifer Black surrounded them, weapons aimed. The air was so thick with winnowing dust from the hovering gunship that Bronzy and Sonica were coughing hard.
Het Hurtado Bronzy and Het Peto Sonica, the nearest Lucifer demanded.
They nodded, hands knotted behind their heads.
You are under arrest, by order of the Lord Commander.
Is this about Axor Roxana?
Bronzy shouted, above the wash of the gunships.
Of course it is.
Then can you tell me,
Bronzy yelled back as the companions started to herd them towards the gunship,
where the fuck has she gone?